is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Back by popular demand and self-request. Nick Costos is here.
I appreciate that you threw out the popular demand. It really was self-request. Like, I texted you and I was like, I'd like to come on. And you were like, okay, you can come on Thursday. Let's do it. So, yes, anyone that wanted me to come on, I appreciate it. But this was entirely self-request.
Did you ever find out who the was the Twitter handle? Costos number one fan? Or
this guy from Britain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tim Monk, the number one Nick Costos fan. Shout out to him. I'm sure he'll be listening.
Yeah,
since he's my number one fan.
And how is he related to you?
I had to text my mom and be like, did you make a Twitter? Is this you, mom? It's actually some dude from Britain. Shout out to Tim.
All right, no, this is back by popular demand. You got rave reviews last time. So Nick hosts, he does our anchoring on CBS Sports HQ. Did a great job during the NFL draft. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're going to get Nick's thoughts on football, comma, life in general. We're going to talk about Marlon Mack, who had offseason surgery on his shoulder, and his outlook for 2018. We did a mock draft that we're not allowed to talk about because it's for our magazine, but we'll talk a little bit about it, sort of.
You can give some hints. I mean, we're just not going to break it down like we normally break down drafts.
No, but we will have a draft next week that we'll be able to break down, right?
Yes, we will have a draft next week. Maybe Nick will be in it if he decides to reply to the email that I sent him. Which he tends to ignore.
Well, what I do is live my life on a day-to-day basis, and you want me to make a commitment a week in advance. I can't do it.
The nice thing was, though, I did send that I am you, or it had to be you didn't reply to the email. So I am
you. Well, yeah, because we were – why would I reply to the email if we're G-Chase? It's like when people send wedding invitations and I don't RSVP back. If I text you, why do I need to send the RSVP?
I didn't remember where the conversation
– was over the chat.
That sounds like a man who hasn't been married. You'll see.
Did,
you need the RSVP.
Correct.
He did say – what about our Tuesday lunch?
I mean, we go to lunch on Tuesdays. Like, we're going to cancel lunch for the frickin' mock draft. I mean, we do the mock draft any day.
All right, Nick, give us some anywhere from lukewarm to hot takes on football right now.
Oh, well, I'll start with this one. You want, let's get the kerosene in the match and let's burn this baby down already. Mitch Trubisky will be this year's Jared Goff. And the Chicago Bears, I don't know if they're going to go 11-5 and win the division like the Rams did last year. I love the Bears this year. Love their over win total at 6.5. And I think Trubisky's going to have a big year. And Anthony Miller, the wide receiver that they traded up to take in the second round, traded next year's second rounder to go up and get him. Love the move from Ryan Pace. I think Anthony Miller, not DJ Moore, not Calvin Ridley, not Cortland Sutton. Anthony Miller will be the wide receiver one from this year's rookie class. And I am in on Mitch Trubisky, and I am in on the Chicago Bears offense for fantasy.
And when you say that you're in, it's not just hyperbole. You literally traded for him in your dynasty league.
In one of my dynasty
leagues. You have put
leagues.
Your money where your mouth
yes,
is.
Yes, I traded a third-round pick and Adolphus Washington, the Bills' defensive tackle, in what I would consider to be highway robbery. Yeah. Shout out to the guy.
A third-round pick and a defensive tackle
yes,
for Mitchell Trubisky?
For Mitchell Trubisky. The guy has got a couple
quarterbacks. Was he your number one fan just trying to, like, do you a solid?
Well, he's got Cam and a couple other quarterbacks, so I don't think he's as high on Trubisky as I am. I think I'm right and he's wrong. I think Trubisky's going to throw 25 touchdowns, probably rush for 5. I think he's going to have a monster season this year with Matt Nagy there calling plays.
They put a lot of pieces around him. You mentioned one in Anthony Miller. They went out, they were the aggressive one and signed Allen Robinson, and they made the trade, or they signed Trey Burton. So, you know, you're talking
Taylor
about
Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel, I mean, you know, I think he's more of a complimentary option, but certainly part of the puzzle. And so, you know, with not only the coaching change to get a more aggressive play caller in there and somebody who's got an offensive background, you have
aggressive. You mean that he's going to call the forward pass, unlike John Fox, who was stuck
right.
in the Mesozoic era.
You have now talent on the field, and it's a great comparison. Jared Goff is a great situation because it was the same thing. They went out and they got a new head coach, and you saw the dramatic turnaround. So he can have that same type of
I will response. Add. I will add, like, I think Mitch Trubisky is going to end up like Goff did, like a QB1 this season. I don't know if I can draft him to be my QB1.
But right you don't have to. Bat. That's the best part about it. You know, you're talking about dynasty trades where you're getting him, which is a clearly different scenario.
No, but I love him in this year, too.
I understand that. But he's your last round pick. You know, it's Trubisky kicker defense or defense kicker, whatever order you want to do it.
It's going to be defense kicker Trubisky.
It could. But, you know, you just want to make sure you get him.
Yeah, because I think it's going to be a big year for him.
Totally understand it.
He's a better version of Alex Smith. He's got, like, I think his athleticism's really underrated.
If he stinks, you cut him. That's the easy part about it.
I don't think he's going to stink.
I agree.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. There's always a chance. I don't think he's going to stink.
I'm going to lay this one on you, though. Where does he rank compared to the Patrick Mahomes and Goff and Matt Ryan and a lot of other quarterbacks that are going to be in that same – they're in that same boat of being – late round flyers, we think they've got a chance to have a big year. Yeah. Where does he fall in line with those guys?
I don't think you can take Trubisky over Goff. Like, if I had the option,
I don't think you should.
I would take Goff. And I would also take Mahomes over him.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes is at least, like, that Week 17 game, like, Trubisky was playing with the deck stacked against him. It's not his fault last year. But, like, what Mahomes did in Week 17 and the weapons that they have and with Andy Reid, and it's Matt Nagy's a Reid disciple. I like both guys. I just think Mahomes is the better prospect.
You know,
I think Mahomes is a better quarterback than Trubisky is.
But the thing, you know, the two of the guys you just laid out, in terms of Goff and Trubisky, you can just wait until maybe your last two picks.
You don't think Goff's going to go earlier than that?
No, I've done enough drafts now to see that.
I think Azer's right.
Wait, so Jamie, I don't remember if you were on this show. It was the last show we did for the Ion Fantasy Football Radio show on CBS Sports Radio. So it was right before Week 17, and we did a draft on the air. And somebody, we did first round, just call in, give us a pick. We'll go pick by pick. Somebody called in and took Jared Goff, like, seventh overall. And I was like, wait, not only are you taking a quarterback, you're not taking Aaron Rodgers, you're not taking Cam Newton, you're not taking Tom Brady, you're taking Jared Goff. So in our leagues, like, no. But I think the public will fall in love with Jared
Goff. No, he's going to get drafted as a second quarterback. But he's not going to get drafted as a number one quarterback.
I don't know about that.
Is that what you said? I'm sorry. No, he won't. He won't be top 12.
No, it's such a loaded position.
Yeah.
It's such a loaded position. I mean, you know, you start thinking about the names. He's not going ahead of Rodgers, Brady, or Wilson.
Yep.
He's not going ahead of Wentz or Watson. He's not going ahead of Cam. He's still not going ahead of Breeze.
No.
He's you know,
Roethlisberger.
Although I will say this, if you gave me the choice of Jared Goff or Drew Brees in fantasy next year, I would take Jared Goff.
No. Wow.
Based on just player for player or based on value? Because value,
situation, the whole deal. I think Goff will outperform Breeze this year in fantasy.
I mean, obviously he could. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but there's the chance for it. But
Goff will account for more touchdowns than Breeze will this year. Breeze is the better quarterback, but I think that they're gonna lead more
thinking,
on the run game as
you're
always.
Thinking the way you should, which is it's a stat.
Don't forget about Todd Gurley. He's still there.
Yeah, but he catches a ton of passes also.
Sure. So do the running backs in New Orleans.
True.
I think the point with Goff, and maybe saying you're gonna get him with your last two picks, but you can certainly get Goff double digit rounds and Trubisky even later than that.
It's fascinating, and you guys are far more invested in this world than I am. I was thinking about this earlier. Is this the year where I can't think of a better year to wait on taking a quarterback?
Yeah, it's the deepest I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I've been playing fantasy football for 20 years.
But like you can't take – I feel like it's almost malpractice this year to take a guy in the first like five or six rounds.
You know, we said the same thing last year. Just want to point that out. And it does seem deeper this year than ever. We have also said that. But, I mean, going into – doing our quarterback preview last year was like, yeah, there are 15 to 18 quarterbacks that I'm happy with as my number one. That included – Eli Manning and Carson Palmer. At the end of the day, like Aaron Rodgers, if he stays healthy, is still going to be a lot better than every other quarterback, except for maybe a few. Same with Russell Wilson, probably with Tom Brady. I mean, I don't like taking the middle group. I like either taking Aaron Rodgers in the third round or something like that, or wait, unless you get amazing value.
Look, there's always going to be the anomaly year. Like last year, Wentz was somebody who had the chance to be like what you would probably say Goff was, and Trubisky could be this year, or the Alex Smith season, that just a guy comes out of nowhere that you don't see coming and has that big season. There are a lot of good young quarterbacks. Goff is going to be outside the top 12. I think I don't like the situation for Dak Prescott, but the way that he's going to fall in drafts, if Gallup becomes something, if they can, you know, find tight end, maybe Rico Gathers is that guy.
They should run the Patriots offense.
However it comes to fruition, Dak could still have good to very good fantasy value with a late round pick. If Eli gets his bleep together with all those guys around him,
he's going to stink.
But still, there's so much talent there. And it just goes on and on and on.
You know who I kind of like? you guys are going to laugh at this, who I think is going to have a bounce back fantasy year.
You just said Jared Goff's going to be better than Drew Brees. If we didn't laugh at that, I don't know if we're going to laugh at
that. That was kind of laugh worthy now that I'm thinking about it. I'll stick with it.
If Joe Flacco comes out of
your mouth. It's not Joe Flacco, but it's someone who I used to really love.
Tyrod Taylor.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, boy.
They could, but that's the thing. He could.
I'm not drafting him.
Of course
no,
not.
No, no, no. And I wouldn't draft him either. But I'm saying, but like, would you be shocked if Ryan Tannehill was a pretty good fantasy quarterback
yes.
next year?
Yes. Yep. I'll give you a conversation that we had off air yesterday or 2 days ago with Heath, who's doing all of our team by team previews for our magazine.
His beard's out of control, man. I actually kind of like it, but I mean, that thing, I mean, he could hide like an animal in that beard.
It
kind of looks like an armadillo crawled on his face.
I haven't seen Scott White in about a week, and I think he's in the beard.
No, he's here at night now, lurking around, like walking past us like a Dementor from Harry Potter.
Heath brought up this point. Can you think of a team that has a star running back? I don't know how you phrase it, but star running back.
Top 10 quarterback, top 10 running back.
Everything but the quarterback.
You're right.
Top 10 running back, top 10 receiver, top 10 tight end, and not had a top 10 quarterback. And, you know, we were like Troy Aikman. You know, like that's how far back you have to think of. And Aikman at that point was probably a star fantasy quarterback. But everything around Eli is just set up for him to be great.
And yes, except for the offensive line, which is atrocious.
Yeah, no. I think they got better.
You know what? Like, in order
Hold
for
on,
the
this is the Giants fan.
No, this is the Giants fan. Was I the Giants fan last year when I said they were going to stink? And they stunk.
Yes.
If I were a fan, I'd say they were going to be great. I'm being rational. They stink. Like, Will Hernandez has got to be Alan Faneca for this offensive line to be good. He's got to be touched by the hand of God, like Dave Gettleman said Saquon Barkley was. I'm willing to bet that Will Hernandez is not going to the Hall of Fame. And Nate Solder is not Anthony Munoz, so let's not talk about him like he is. He's an above-average left tackle that got paid like Walter Jones because he hit the market at the right time. He's not that good.
He's so better than what they had.
Right. And last year was atrocious. This year is not atrocious.
It has the chance to be.
It's not the worst offensive line in the league.
In any event,
it might not even be in the bottom 10.
Eli could be good. Dalton could be good. 2 years ago, he
was great.
How
about Marcus Mariota?
Mariota could be great.
We're saying every name. Like, we should start talking about the quarterbacks that we aren't going to draft.
Yeah. I'll give you a quarterback that in 2016 had a top 10 wide receiver and a top 10 tight end and finished like 13th, and that was Russell Wilson. He had Doug Baldwin. He had Jimmy Graham.
He was hurt. Yep.
He was hurt, yeah. So it can happen. He didn't have the running back. He didn't have that element of it. But obviously, Eli's got some of the best weapons in fantasy for sure. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about just two news items here. Marlon Mack with the offseason surgery. He played his entire rookie season with a torn labrum. He's expected back for training camp. The Colts drafted two running backs. They drafted Nyheim Hines in round 4. He calls himself the fastest running back in the draft class. And the Colts also drafted Ole Miss running back Jordan Wilkins in round 5. He's a bigger, probably more suitable to for more workload running back than Hines. And they drafted a guard with each of their first two picks. So this is a great situation that any running back would be walking into. Let's talk about Marlon. Now, we talked about this a little bit, but we didn't know about the surgery on Monday when we spoke about Mac, right?
Nope.
All right.
No.
So what's your reaction to that?
As long as he's fine for camp, I think the situation is as good as it gets for any of these rookies. And, you know, if Andrew Luck is back at 100%, he's thrown the ball to his running backs quite a bit. So Marlon Mack's in a great situation, but I still think C.J. Anderson is looming for the Colts.
I don't want to think about C.J. Anderson there until it happens, because right now, and honestly, I'd like to see it happen, because I don't know if I can buy into Marlon Mack as being the main guy there. I think they're going to use them all.
Yep.
You just saw what Philadelphia did last year. And Frank
100%.
Reich said as much. We asked him about it at the coach's breakfast a month ago, and that's what he said. You're going to see all these guys working.
How was that breakfast? Like the food itself?
You know, it was at the Ritz-Carlton, so it was
probably
pretty dang good.
How did Doug Peterson feel about having like the mouth breathers and the media all around him while he was eating?
I didn't talk to Doug.
Okay.
But I can pretty much tell you that most coaches dread the coach's breakfast.
I bet. But I'm with you, dude.
On the Ritz-Carlton food? Yeah.
Ritz-Carlton food's great. And Marlon Mack's the best of these guys, but like, how can you feel confident in any of them?
It's just getting him at the right price on draft day.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that there's going to be some nincompoop in every league that's going to take him in round 5 thinking, good offensive line, Andrew Luck's back, he's going to catch a lot of passes. Well, Hines is there to catch the passes. And I think Wilkins is there to be the grinder. So Matt kind of fits in between. And maybe when training camp starts, he'll be the first one up with the ones. But he showed some good explosive moments last year. It was too few and far between. And I just have a feeling it's going to be.
You can't judge last year.
I'm just saying he had some good moments. I'm not saying that if the line was better, he would have had an amazing season. Because I don't think he would have. I think he's going to end up being inconsistent.
I still don't think that line's very good, with Quentin Nelson.
I think the interior of that line might be
awesome.
2 years from now, it's going to be the best interior one in the league. Nelson is amazing, by the way. Like, if you go watch his games, he is amazing to watch.
And the other news item, Carson Wentz is going to make more of an effort to protect himself when he is scrambling and such.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we'll put it this way.
Wear a seatbelt.
He had 299 rushing yards in 13 games, so I cut that in half. Let's say he had 150 rushing yards instead of 299, and I took what his point total would have been in 13 games, gave him 16 games, and he still would have been basically tied with Russell Wilson as the number one quarterback in fantasy. And he didn't have any rushing touchdowns either, which is a little bit weird. You figure he'd probably score one or two.
He didn't have a touchdown when he tore his ACL,
The ball fumbled out of the end zone?
It was not a touchdown.
I thought it was against Seattle.
No, it was against the Rams.
No, when he tore his ACL was in L.A. against the Rams.
Right, but he was diving for a touchdown against Seattle.
Might have been a two-point conversion.
Oh, maybe. He did not have any rushing touchdowns last year.
He did not. No.
I can assure you of this. So, yeah, we're not going to...
Because I think he actually got hurt on the touchdown pass. He got hit, I think, after he threw it.
He stayed in for the two-point conversion.
Yeah, but I think he got hurt on the throw.
No, he got hurt on the run. He tore his ACL on the run, right?
Before the contact.
Before the contact, and then he stayed in and threw the two-point conversion. And then he had the torn ACL. And somehow they won the Super Bowl. It really pisses me off as a Giants fan, but yeah.
Who are you rooting for, Nick?
I was rooting for the Eagles.
Me too.
Yeah. Which really, is awful.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
Super Bowl hell for the second time.
Super Bowl hell for Giants. I mean, the Patriots won. Who cares? Then we're the only ones to beat them.
Then why didn't you root for the Patriots?
I couldn't bring myself to it because the game.
Because it was hell.
I'm obsessed with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Like, no, he's the best. I would want him as my coach.
I'll take Belichick, but you can have Peterson. I'll take Belichick and Goff. You can have Peterson and Trubisky. Or I'll take Belichick and Breeze. You could have Peterson and Goff.
Or Mahomes.
And now you're stuck with Shermer and Eli.
Yeah, right. Giants will be back at the top of the draft in 2 years.
With a new GM. So I want to promote a few things. First of all, we got CBS Sports HQ. Nick, tell them what they've won by watching CBS Sports HQ.
Well, I mean, you get to watch me, which is a prize in itself. In all seriousness, this is how I'll describe it. If you like sports, this is the network for you. If you like sports, you... The listener right now that's listening to me talk.
Who, me?
If you like sports, anyone, watch CBS Sports HQ. It is sports for sports fans. No BS, no frills, no nonsense. We're not going to rank the greatest rap groups or talk to an actor promoting his latest movie. It is just sports. Think the old ESPN news, but on steroids with awesome production value. And I'm on it. So it's great.
Yeah.
I'm on from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. You can catch me Sunday through Thursday, all Friday and Saturday. And the crew is great. It's sensational. CBS Sports HQ, cbsports.com/live, CBS Sports app, all connected devices, all that good stuff. Check it out. Again, I guarantee, as a diehard sports fan, I've been watching for 30 years, obsessed with all the sports, not just football. I guarantee you will like it. Check it out. CBS yes. Sports HQ.
So right. Here's what happened to Wentz. It was a first and goal play from the two. He scrambled, scored the touchdown, got hurt. It was called back by penalty. They had two more runs after that. Incomplete pass, fourth down. He throws the touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay. And then they went for two, right?
They did not go for two.
Got it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jamie. Also, listen to the Pick 6 podcast, which Nick is on occasionally, but it's hosted by Will Brinson, and it's outstanding. We got your fantasy coverage right here on this podcast, but if you want just some NFL talk, Pick 6 podcast every single morning. Monday through Friday, it's going to be there first thing in the morning for you. They record at night. They publish it early in the morning. It's about 30 minutes long. It's six topics, 5 minutes each. There you go, Pick 6. And the Sportsline DFS podcast, if you want some DFS advice. Right now we're doing baseball and PGA. Baseball every day, PGA once a week. Mike McClure is our expert. I'm on sometimes I'm on that, but it's mostly Heath Cummings and Mike McClure. Sportsline DFS podcast. And finally, sportsline.com. We've got the Kentucky Derby coming up. So what you want to do is go to sportsline.com right now and use our promo code HUDDLE. For listeners of this podcast, the promo code is HUDDLE. And you can get your first month for just $1. And it's a $9.99 per month subscription, which is extremely cheap for a service like this. But if you use the promo code HUDDLE when you sign up, you'll get the first month for a dollar. Jody Demling is our horse racing guru. This guy is incredible. He will get the Kentucky. He has nailed 9 straight Oaks Derby doubles. If you are a horse racing person, you know what that is. I just learned what that is. Anyway, sportsline.com.
Sounds like a category on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Sounds like something I want to know about if I want to win some money.
Yes, it means he's held the tickets with the winners of the Kentucky Oaks on Friday and the Derby on Saturday. 9 straight years. Use the promo code HUDDLE. Promo code HUDDLE. $1 on your first month. All right, I'm done promoing. So we did that mock draft that we're sort of allowed to talk about, and I want to talk about a few topics from that draft. So, drafting 2 top 10 quarterbacks in a year where it clearly makes sense to wait for quarterback. Is this a stupid idea? I think if one of those quarterbacks is maybe Andrew Luck or Ben Roethlisberger, I kind of like it. What do you guys think? Would you ever draft 2 top 10 quarterbacks? And I think, you know, the reason why I'd want to do it is to prevent someone from taking Andrew Luck or Ben Roethlisberger kind of late and ending up with one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy.
What about adding Carson Wentz to that list? Since we don't know what his status is for week 1, would he also be one of the 3 that you'd want to get a second quarterback for?
I don't see him going as late as those guys, but yes, if he did, then yes.
I don't think you guys are answering you're answering the question he's talking about. Dave's talking about pairing a second quarterback with Wentz, and Adam's talking about getting one of the lower tier top 12 quarterbacks.
They're all still
top 10 quarterbacks, though.
No, but Adam's point is, like, is it worth taking 2 quarterbacks that are ranked relatively high? You're more talking about taking a guy to help you in case Wentz is ready.
Right. I was thinking that he was just kind of dropping the injury-prone label on Roethlisberger and Luck when there's a guy coming back from a torn ACL that maybe also deserves
Well, here's the answer to the question. No.
No, you shouldn't do that. So, Dave, what I'm saying is Wentz would be my number 2 quarterback.
If one of those guys was your 1.
Yeah, I could pair both of them.
Let's start over. Adam's talking
about... I feel like we're in first grade math class right now. Yes,
Adam's
1 plus 1
Adam's
is
Adam's talking about pairing the first quarterback that he drafts. So let's just say he ends up taking Deshaun Watson. And then...
Oh, yeah, he's also coming off of an injury.
Okay, bad example.
Breeze.
But let's say he takes Drew Brees, and then he ends up taking Andrew Luck 2 or 3 rounds later because he wants to take the quarterback away from somebody else. Dave is talking about, if you take Carson Wentz, do you need to take a second quarterback no matter where he's ranked, because in case Wentz is
not ready for why don't we just address this as 2 separate issues, starting with Adam's issue?
This is like a Saturday Night Live skit. I think we should, like, can we erase this from the podcast, the last, like, 90 seconds of what?
Here, no.
All right,
we're
let's
clear.
Answer Acer's question.
We're clear.
No, you should not take 2 top 12 quarterbacks in a draft. No, you should not do that.
Well, I'm sorry for a spoiler here, but I did it and I kind of liked it.
I did it too.
Yeah, you did. All right, I won't
ask
you.
But it was kind of by accident.
Yeah, I didn't plan on it, but I just loved the value so much, and I took like an NFL draft approach.
It was kind of by accident.
Yeah.
That inspires tons of confidence.
We didn't plan it.
Well,
I'm allowed to.
10 minutes ago, talking about how deep the quarterback position is and how much talent there is and how much you can get great value from somebody who may or may not come out of nowhere, but it's worth taking the risk on that. And then it's a good idea to take a second quarterback early.
No, but like last year, I took Cam in the league I went undefeated in, and I got carried off like Don Shula. It was great. I took Cam, I think, in the 8th round. And then I took Luck in the 3rd-to-last round before kicker and defense. But that was like a stash play because no one was drafting him at the time.
I would tend to think that's the smarter way to draft your second quarterback, like we were just talking about with Trubisky, if you have a feeling on him, or any of the other quarterbacks that we've rattled off when we were going through this. The other part of it is, I mean, look, Adams, the way that he drafted, and you'll see it in our magazine, the same thing with Dave. If you don't like anything on the board at the time, it's never a bad idea to take the best player available. But if you're doing it, which I know Dave's done this in the past, and I don't think this is necessarily Adam's point, if you're doing it with the hope of trading that player, especially at the quarterback position, it is so difficult in a 12-team league, because the position is so deep, to find value that you could get maybe at another spot. Like if you took a chance on one of the rookie running backs, they're still there, or one of the rookie receivers.
It's a lottery ticket pick. And you know when you take a lottery ticket pick? At the end of the draft.
Well, look,
not like in the 7th round.
What round do you think? I don't think it was the 7th round. I think it was...
I can tell you what round it was, because you screwed me as a result of it.
Yeah, what round was it? Because that's
important. Round 8.
Round 8. Well,
yeah,
but
you
I had the first...
can't take 2 quarterbacks by the
But that was the
round.
Last... Okay, that was the but last pick of round 8, to be fair.
It's atrocious.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, because...
Is it a 2 quarterback league?
No.
I'm sorry. It was not round 8. It was round 10.
Okay, last pick of round 10.
Different.
Yes. So the quarterbacks were going late. But yeah, last pick around 10. And the thing is, with Brees as my number one, like, there are some doubts about Drew Brees. He was about 10th last year. Threw 23 touchdown passes or 24 touchdown passes. 23.
Yeah, but so if you had ended this draft with just Brees as your quarterback, you would have been happy.
I am, but now I'm happier with Brees and Luck.
Right. You took advantage of a silly bargain. Like, you're never going to see Andrew Luck fall that far unless he's not in training camp again. In which case, he won't get
take advantage of a silly bargain. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But even if you
that's
have,
what I did.
If you have some, okay, all right. So I think we're on the same.
The
page
only
there.
Thing that you're doing to yourself is you're eliminating the chance of a roster spot that you could play with, because the minute you cut Andrew Luck if he's right, or Cam Newton if he's right, or Brees or Carson Wentz in the case of the quarterbacks you guys took as your first options, that guy's picked up immediately.
I'm not cutting him.
But that's the point. Now you're stuck. You're handcuffed a little bit.
Like, because I was with Luck last year.
Right, because the minute you drop that guy, he's going to get picked up unless there's news that he's not out or not going to play
for
several weeks.
Well, what I did is I kept him until, like, he wasn't playing anymore, and then I had to
cut
him.
I did the same thing.
And it was a wasted roster spot, went undefeated because I'm so good at fantasy.
It's just one of those things where, you know, you have to understand that, okay, if you have six bench spots, now you have five, and when you get to, if you drafted well and your team is loaded, you're going to have to make a tough call on kicker, defense, or, you know, maybe an injury happens that you have to make an ad drop.
I had one week last year where I didn't start a kicker because I had to keep, because I wanted to keep Luck. I still won, but I literally did not play a kicker.
The alternative is trading the second quarterback, but you're not going to get what you think you should get in trade for him, which I think was Jamie's point when you referenced something that happened to me years ago when we did a draft and I ended it.
It was RG3's rookie season. It was our auction.
And I got him and Matt Ryan for a total of like $4 in an auction.
But also what kills you
and
here
they
is
were
the
both
person
awesome.
Knows that you're going to play the one quarterback, then like,
yeah, right. So,
well, listen, but
this
has
been reflected in the trade chart for years. Sorry, Adam, but the value for quarterbacks just isn't nearly as high.
Since this is an audio medium, it's worth noting here because people can't see. Dave literally looked at Adam on Skype and waved him off.
I wanted to make my point. The trade chart is important.
Hand motion.
I get it, but I think that if I took Andrew Luck in the 10th round, I could probably trade him for somebody better than a 10th round pick.
If he's good, if he's healthy.
If he's good, yeah.
I don't think it'll be like even a sixth round pick. Like, you have to lower your expectations for what you get in trade for.
Of course I would. I mean, I get that's why I got him in the 10th round, because people aren't valuing quarterbacks like that. The other quarterback question, I think we've already addressed that in previous shows. I want to talk about Derrick Henry. I know Jamie and I don't agree on Derrick Henry. And what is it? Do you just think Deion Lewis is going to...
Derrick Henry. You're misconstruing what I was talking to you about. Derrick Henry's one of my favorite players this year. I think he's still going to be fantastic. It was when you took Derrick Henry.
He's going to be overdrafted.
I
don't think he's going to be overdrafted. He's overdrafted in our magazine.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say.
No, it's fine. Again, we could give a couple nuggets about the draft. You took him at the beginning of the third round. You had the swing. You had the
first
pick.
Can't do it.
25th overall.
And so,
no way.
And you know, again, just for reference, it's not necessarily, you hear me say this all the time. If you have a conviction about a player, and especially if you're picking on the ends, you know you're not going to get him on the way back. Take the guy and just hope that you're right. But you left. What'd you take? You took Kelsey and Henry?
Nope.
You took Keenan Allen and Henry.
Henry.
I took Kelsey. You could have had Kelsey and Keenan Allen to go with Todd Gurley. That's a much better start to your team.
No, wait, but
if
I don't know that
right.
I agree, because I happen to think that the Deion Lewis thing is overblown. And I know, Jamie, that before...
They're paying him a ton of money.
They are paying him
$5
billion.
Hold on.
Listen.
Different.
They are
different.
Paying him...
One's a left tackle, one's a running back.
Well, also, the salary's different. But
they are paying Deion Lewis $5 million a year. 4 years, $20 million. Latavius Murray signed for 3 years and $15 million last year. So if they don't have the right running back, they don't need to use him. And they could probably cut him. I think you look at his salary, they can cut him after 1 year.
It's different.
It's a little bit different.
It's a lot different.
$5 million on the salary cap is nothing.
I know that Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is going to score touchdowns, guys. Sorry.
It's Patriots culture taking a Patriots guy. There's a lot of things that go into signing Deion Lewis that help this team. I just don't think that it's going to ruin Derrick Henry to the level that I think, like Nick is talking about. For several reasons.
I take him in the third round.
I would have taken him a little bit later, but again, first off, Adam, when I give you a hard time, you have to understand when it's sarcasm, when it's not.
I know you thought it was a reach, and that's fine. Not a huge reach, but obviously I had a swing pick, so I wasn't going to get Derrick Henry in 24 picks later.
No, okay,
so
of course not.
So I had to reach.
How long have you guys been doing the show together? And like this stuff's like you guys still don't know when each other are being sarcastic. Is that possible?
No. It was on IM. It was, you know, we were just kind of. I knew he was being sarcastic, but I guess I'm just not really that affected in a standard scoring league by Deion Lewis's signing. In a PPR league, obviously it hurts Henry's value because they were talking about getting Henry involved in the passing game. And I don't think that's really going to happen at this point. But I don't think there will be a running back drafted after Derrick Henry that has as much touchdown potential as Derrick Henry. That is the summation of how I feel about him and why I was okay reaching for him in standard scoring.
I'll give you just a comparison. It's another magazine draft that I'm in the middle of right now, and it's half point PPR. He went at the end of the third round, so it's not that far off.
It's 12 picks. Yeah, half PPR though. I wouldn't have taken him 25th overall in half PPR, for what it's worth. Okay. I was going to talk about some more draft stuff, but I think we will move on, and you can check out the magazine draft. I did want to point out, though, that a lot of the good DSTs have some kind of dicey early season schedules, so that's something to keep in mind. But more importantly, gentlemen out there, listen up. Everybody do it. Put your hand on your head. Feel your hair. Getting a little thin up there? Don't worry.
Not mine.
I don't want to talk about it.
You're all right, Nick, but... If you're like someone else, you're not alone. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, and luckily for you...
Dave's older than 35, though.
He is, but he was probably losing his hair a little bit by 35. I'm not going to pick on Dave during this read, okay?
You can go ahead. Go ahead.
No, look, Dave...
Pick on old fat baldy.
Go to 4hims.
You're just old and bald, but you're not fat.
4hims.com/FFT, okay? This is a complete hair kit for just $5 for your first month. $5 for a hair kit, which is a combination of products that covers all the bases. 4hims.com/FFT. FORHIMS.com/FFT. All right, 4hims is a great website for men. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. And baldness can be optional, okay? Hims connects you with real doctors. You get medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You're getting generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions. This is not snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. This is generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. You will save hours on 4hims.com. It's very easy. You answer a few questions, a doctor's going to review it and prescribe it to you, and the product gets shipped directly to your door. So again, we want you to go to 4hims.com/FFT. This is an opportunity to save a ton of money. 4hims. I know so many people have tried hair loss products and it has not worked. Go to 4hims.com/FFT, FORHIMS.com/FFT, and get $5 for your first month for this hair kit. All right.
Nick, you mentioned how long have we been doing this show? So it's been what, 10 plus years?
I think we're in year 9.
Yeah, you and I have been doing this, Jamie,
almost 10 years.
10 years, and then Adam jumped the board.
In the 9th, 10th year, whatever you want to qualify this, for the first time when Adam was doing a read, said, and for my listeners.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did, yeah.
In what year did he say that?
This one.
Good for him. I would have done it like 4 or 5 years earlier.
You would have played the show yourself.
It would have been the Nick Costos podcast you saw featuring Jamie.
The minute you saw it near the top of the iTunes stars, you would have been like, whoa, my show is awesome.
Nick Costos today.
That would have been it.
Yes, I did say that. I apologize. It was.
What are you apologizing for?
It was not right.
By the way, we're apparently missing a very emotional news conference right now. The Jason Witten retirement news conference is going on, and the entire Jerry Jones's entire family is crying.
Go ahead, Giants fans.
No, because I was going to say, because what they're going to be showing on a loop is the highlights from Dallas's one playoff victory that they had with Jason Witten over the Lions a couple years ago.
I mean, who does? I like Jason Witten. He's a badass. Tough as hell.
He's
a compiler. He's going to the Hall of Fame, but he's a compiler.
Eligible for 240 games. He played in 239 of them.
Yeah, incredible. His first game that he missed, the only game was his rookie season, right?
And he killed the Giants.
Because he had a broken jaw.
Yeah, he played through the ruptured spleen. Amazing career. Let's talk Dynasty a little bit. Jamie, I know you were trying to acquire the number one overall pick in the rookie draft, which would have been Saquon Barkley, and you were unsuccessful.
In which draft?
Ours.
What do you mean ours? Is this the league I'm in?
Yeah.
Who's got the number one pick?
Will Brinson.
When are we starting this draft?
It's a good question. The beard has hidden the draft in his beard.
This is BS. I mean, I'm in two drafts concurrently right now. We can't get ours off the ground.
So I offered Will And he said, no, I offered Will my first, second, and third round picks this year, which I won the league, so I finished 14th, or I'm picking 14th.
Mike Ditko over here. I like it.
My first and second pick next year, and my first round pick in 2020 for Barkley, which is, you know, 1.1.
Yep.
And a fifth this year, his third and fourth next year, and a second pick in 2020.
Yeah, I would have laughed at you.
And then when he said no at first, he said, wow, that's a great offer. I'll have to consider it. And then he said a couple things, which we'll talk about on this about the league. But then he said, I said, I'll take away all.
I'm going to guess he said, I don't care about the league.
No, I'll take away all of the draft pick compensation you're giving back to me. So I'm giving him all the same stuff minus the fifth and the third, fourth, whatever. And he said he thinks that because he has Todd Gurley, he thinks having Gurley and Barkley can get him back in the winner's circle with what else he has on his team. So he just got a lot of injuries last year and had a terrible season. So he's counting
on
Barkley.
He's also a bad GM.
He's counting on Barkley turning things around.
Who's your best running back?
Either McCaffrey or Ingram, depending on how you want to view it dynasty-wise.
Would you give up both of them and all your picks
no.
this year for Saquon?
No.
Like, that's the type of deal that would
if
get
If I were
thinking.
Brinson, I would say you only get the first pick and nothing else.
Which is what I did.
Yeah. So wait,
you have to make that deal.
Reframe the terms.
If you're Brinson?
Reframe the terms.
So, okay, so taking away what he would be giving me back aside from Barkley would be I'd give him my first, second, and third this year, my first and second next year, and my first in 2020 for Barkley.
It's a no-brainer
so
trade to me.
I the opposite.
But I think most people would agree with you, Nick.
It's a no-brainer.
And well,
but he's got the last pick.
And he'll have the last pick for two more years because he's got Saquon Barkley.
I think here's the thing with Dynasty that I think people miss the boat on sometimes. Like, draft picks in a rookie draft are not that – like, a couple years ago, I traded the 7th overall pick in a rookie draft for Brandon Cooks when Cooks was still on the Saints. And I crushed it because who are you going to get with the 7th pick
exactly.
in a rookie draft that's better than Brandon? So what you do with acquiring those picks is you trade those picks for proven veteran players instead of keep – I'm not suggesting he keep all those picks and draft a million rookies with them, but you use those picks because people overvalue rookie picks in dynasty drafts.
The other part of it is the steals that you'll be able to get that aren't the guys at the top. We all are expecting Barkley to be great, but then it's the group that's after him. It's a little bit...
Like, I like Royce Freeman second best out of the running backs.
Well, you're not going to get him at 14th overall.
I didn't want to say that it's murky, but it's unsolidified right now because you say
Nebulous.
Freeman, Dave says Jones, I say Geis, you know, you say that Miller's the best rookie receiver.
You know,
I like DJ Moore, Dave's like Ridley. So there's a lot of guys, but I go back to our draft last year, and again, it was a startup, but we did have our teams in place by the time we did the rookie draft. You got Alvin Kamara in the second round.
Questionable.
Huh?
Yeah.
But you got Kamara in the second round or
top
third
of
round?
The second round.
Right. So you got him in the second round. I got Kenny Golladay, who may become something, who knows, in the sixth round. So you're going to find guys, it could be Jordan Wilkins, for example, that's not going to go in the first round, but he's going to be probably your second or third round pick. The quarterbacks, if you're able to hit on, like, I think it was Scott Riley got Deshaun Watson middle of the rookie draft.
It had to have been second or third round.
Baker Mayfield's going to go second or third round.
Baker will go in the second
round. I got Trubisky in the fifth round. I mean, you know, your man crush, who, if he does become this star, you could still get good players. So
I got Goff in that.
So,
yeah.
So what Will could do conceivably is not just take all those picks and consolidate them for proven players. He could then trade 3 first round picks to get back to the one spot if he really wants to help a team who may or may not be rebuilding 2 years from now. So there's draft capital with these picks. But yes, I understand both sides of it where Will looking at it and saying, okay, or like Adam, you said, I'm picking at the end. The 14th pick doesn't necessarily help him now, but he gets all these picks moving forward that he could then turn into other things.
You want to know when rookie draft picks matter? When you can get Saquon Barkley with one of the rookie draft picks. That's when they matter. It's yeah. I would
tough
laugh
to,
at
tough,
Will. If you
tough to disagree with that, but I mean, all the capital that you're getting, though.
You have to be
you're
smart.
You're trading the cow for the beans.
But your dynasty leagues are how long have they been in existence, the two that you're
one,
in?
I think, is this is year 5, and
right.
the other, I think, is year 3 or 4.
You have to be in that type of investment.
Like, I took
people.
Jamal Charles with the second overall pick in one of those startup drafts.
You have to be in that
ago.
Type of investment because I think this league in particular, we're still fresh in it where people are looking at it. And this was one of the conversations Will and I had. I'm looking at it as I don't know how long this league's going to be in existence. So I can give up all this capital right now and try to win it again next year.
What a jerk. Why wouldn't the league exist?
It's just the nature. We're already transitioning 1 or 2 owners.
So, yeah, because the problem was, I forget who it was. Someone in the middle of the newsroom goes, hey, we're doing a dynasty draft. And like three morons raised their hand and said, I want to do it. It's like, I wouldn't have let those people in.
Okay. But Nick, I guess the point would be is you're.
I mean, like, am I wrong?
No, but that's part of it is, you know, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of I could win now and still be very good over the course of time. But also I can give up some of these draft picks because I don't know how long the league is going to be in existence.
All right, so final question on this. How much better do you think Saquon Barkley is than the rest of the rookie running back group in a dynasty league?
Significantly.
Yes.
He's better.
But if you're not going to take a trade where you're getting five future draft picks for Saquon Barkley, then obviously you value him greatly.
Go back a year ago, though. What was the difference between Fournette and the rest of the class? At this point, right now. It's not as good as Barkley. I fully admit
but
that.
But yeah, Fournette was the far,
he
was
Zeke
far and away number one guy.
I think.
Yeah. I agree. That's a much better way to go.
Who are the other guys in that class? Because I'm not.
Like the second best guy last year for me was Dalvin Cook. And I would have told you, as much as I love Dalvin Cook, that Zeke was the better guy.
No,
you like
Fournette was the better guy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Fournette's the better guy.
Yeah, but you had McCaffrey. But I guess the point would be is the two guys that came out of this class that everybody is
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry was like the second running back taken.
But I think that 2018 2018 looks more like 2017 in terms of running backs than it does 2016. So
right.
I don't know that the number one pick is as valuable as it was the Zeke year. And I would also say that I have serious concerns about the Giants going forward. I think that they might have a really bad GM, and I think they might have a really bad team.
Oh, they do. Yeah, that's not a yeah. But Saquon's still good.
He is, but he's not in the best spot. And sometimes opportunity and talent around you and just coaching, like sometimes all that matters a lot more than talent.
Well, it happened for the two guys that were not the high profile guys in the draft last year, in Kamara and Hunt.
Yeah,
because they went to great situations, the Saints and the Chiefs, and how those guys operate and their offenses, etc. So you know, looking at it this year, who are those guys? Could it be
Satan?
I don't know. I don't know if it's Geis, because the Redskins don't necessarily feel like the most stable franchise. It could be Sony Michel, however long the Patriots.
Nah, I mean, I feel like you can't trust like Michel. I like a lot of guys' talent better than Royce Freeman, but Freeman's the opportunity, like his situation's
right,
unbelievable
but
this
but
year.
Freeman and Jones, I think, are in spots where there could be turnover with coach and quarterback and situation that, while it's good short term, it may not be good long term. Like if the Bucks lose, Jason Light and Dirk Koetter are probably gone, and you have a whole new restart there with still building around Jameis.
Depends on how well Jones does.
It depends on Jones.
Sure does. If he goes out this year and has what I think he could have,
but
I said today,
good,
like
though, if that happens.
Eight touchdowns and a ton of yards.
Because the offense is still going to be good in Tampa. Like Ronald Jones is going to be good because the offense is awesome.
Unless he's not good.
In which case the new coach comes in and changes things around. But the expectation is that he will be good though,
yes,
right?
I love him.
Would you be shocked if Ronald Jones was bad? I would be shocked.
I'd be shocked if all these guys are bad. They're all in such great situations. I mean, you know, even extended to Rashad Penny and Kerryon Johnson. They're in good situations.
Kerryon Johnson's the guy that I could see.
Me too.
Maybe not year one, but once they get Blunt out of there, like I said on the last show, this is a team that really wants to run the ball in the Detroit Lions.
It has a good offensive line, good quarterback, and a new coach.
Great offensive line.
Right. And
let me tell you about something else that's great. It is SeatGeek. This is the only way that you should be getting tickets right now, whether it's sports, whether it's comedy, whether it's concerts, theater, whatever. Get that SeatGeek app on your phone or go to SeatGeek.com, and we'll save you $20 with the promo code FFT. That promo code is FFT. Get the most bang for your buck on SeatGeek, because SeatGeek goes out, looks at multiple ticket sites, grades every ticket based on value. You can immediately find the best seats that fit your budget. Now, look, I use it. Usually I'm the kind of guy, I sort by price. I just want to get into the stadium. But hey, if I get a good enough deal, I'll pay up. I'll get a good seat. And I know I'm getting great prices because SeatGeek is looking through all the competition, finding the best seats, and letting me know these are the ones that fit my budget, and this is the most bang for my buck. And every purchase is fully guaranteed. So I have used SeatGeek. I use it all the time. But I've used it for baseball, for football, for concerts, for theater. I used it for a college basketball game. It is on my phone. It is the first place I go every time I need tickets. You should do the same thing. Download the SeatGeek app. Promo code is FFT. $20. That's a great deal. $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase with the promo code FFT. All right. Moving around here. A lot of stuff to get to. Let's talk about this random stat. Dak Prescott in 2016 played three games without Dez Bryant. He scored 21, 21, and 25 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Does that mean anything to you?
Who did he play him against?
San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Green Bay.
He's got a chance to be sneaky this year.
I totally agree. I think he's going to be Alex Smith, like just a guy you forget about. And all of a sudden, like, I should have drafted him.
I just think Garrett and Linehan are such clowns.
Good offensive line. Yeah. It's not going to take much from this receiving core to replicate what they had a year ago.
Let me get it to the receiving core. So we have voicemails on this show. I haven't really been talking about them enough lately. Phone number is 954-689-3199.
Whose cell phone is that?
It's not a cell phone. 954-689-3199. You can call
I can't wait to prank that number this weekend.
We give them Pete Prisco's cell phone number.
Oh, that'd be great.
Pete laying out on the beach right now, and he starts getting 100 calls.
Getting his back rubbed by Dane, our coordinating producer.
And, leave us a voicemail.
That's actually true. That's what's happening. Tweet Pete and tell him.
With your name and your city and any greeting you want and your question, not a keeper question, preferably, unless it's a really short one. And we have just one voicemail I'm going to play today. We'll play some more next week, 954-689-3199. Now, we have, as I mentioned, the Ion Fantasy Football radio show Saturdays during the fall, during football season. We've got our best caller, Pat. He finally called the hotline. 954-689-3199, and he left us this message.
Was it a hotmail or a voicemail line? What are we calling it?
Hotline, not hotmail.
No, you said it was a voicemail.
It's voicemail, yeah. The hotline. He called the hotline. He left a voicemail. Is that different?
I don't think the line's especially high.
All right, fine. So Pat left us a voicemail about
the Cowboys. We have a trade.
Will you just shut up, please? So Pat left us a voicemail. He left it before they cut Dez, before the NFL draft, so you can ignore the Dez part of it. But let's listen to kind of crazy Pat and his kind of kooky voicemail.
Pat from Ohio. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What is up, fellas? I'm back, baby. Dear Heath, Clark, Aramis, Athos, Porthos, and whatchamacallit. This offseason football frenzy's got me dizzy. And I've been fiending football like fiending for a good chocolate. But it's like somebody hands you Tootsie Rolls. I mean, they're good, especially the flavored ones, MLB, NBA, NHL. But it's just not the same. Some binge watch Stranger Things, guilty. Some binge listen to Fantasy Football Today, guilty. Now that you guys got my fix, I'm pumped. I feel like going outside and tackling my tree. Here we go. My question is, if you guys could talk about the Dallas Cowboys receiving corps, Dallas I do adore, but I may be a little bit more of a fantasy fan. Somebody else has to score besides Zeke and Dak. Dak said he'll throw it to you if you're open. Does that mean he can't throw you open? When to take Hearns? Would you even take Terrence Williams or Beasley? Will Dez be back as the NFL turns? Au revoir, Three Musketeers. Till we meet again, have a lovely evening.
I mean, that was amazing.
That guy said goodbye four different ways.
That guy likes the sound of his own voice more than I like the sound of mine.
He's so funny. He's our best caller on the radio shows. They're one of them,
I think it works better Saturday night because he's a lot quicker.
I guess so. That was a long one. Well, what do you guys think? I just wanted to get Nick's take on the Cowboys wide receivers. They drafted a wide receiver that we like. What do you think?
I think you can really only draft one, and it's Gallup, who I think should step in day one and be the number one option in the passing game. I actually like him a little bit this year. I think he's got a chance this year, not because I think like Courtland Sutton, for instance, is more talented than him. I think Christian Kirk is more explosive than he is, but the opportunity that he's going to get is far, far outweighs the others.
Are you taking him over Trubisky in round 12?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll take it. I might take it this far.
Oh boy.
I would take Anthony Miller as the first receiver.
What round?
I don't know.
9. 10.
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
Okay, 9 or 10. Moore second, Ridley third, Gallup fourth.
I think that's going to be the top four.
Yeah, I would actually take Gallup. I like Miller a little bit better in PPR than I do standard. but I would take Miller over Gallup in PPR. In standard, I would take Gallup second behind Moore.
I think you can make that. I don't know that I think he's as talented, but again, yeah, the situation.
It's the same thing with these running backs. They're walking into situations where they're going to get the ball a lot, and he's going to get the ball a lot. I mean, the guys that they have on their roster right now, Terrence Williams, you know what he is. He hasn't performed very well since Dak Prescott's been the starter.
He gives you two good games a year.
Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley are better suited to play in the slot. You know, Nick, you've been talking about this on all the football shows that we've done, and I think a couple times in here, that the Cowboys need to run an offense similar to the Patriots. You know, just use a lot of these interior guys.
Just dink and dunk, man, like with all these guys that they've got.
But they have two athletic guys that could help this offense in a big way. The one is Gallup, because, again, looking at this receiver core. The other is Rico Gathers. I mean, you know, I think I said it on the last
free
podcast.
Free this guy, man.
He was
He's a freak.
Awesome in the preseason. Had the concussion. They put him on IR for the rest of the year. And now there's a huge opening. You know, they have, you know, couple guys. They drafted Dalton Schultz. They have Jeff Swaim, Blake. I'm blanking on his name. Kid from Oklahoma State. They signed as an undrafted.
Oh, Blake Jarwin.
All four of these guys are going to compete for the spot. Rico Gathers has the most upside, and it's not close.
If he's out there and you're in a dynasty league, if Rico Gathers is out there, you go claim him right now.
100%. Right now. Because again, it's opportunity. So Gallup and Gathers, the two G's, they could have a big season for the Cowboys catching
GG.
GG.
Yeah.
And we got an email from George, email of the day. He stumbled upon a sports movie draft on CBSSports.com.
This might be my cue to leave.
You don't want to talk about the sports movie draft?
I'm not a huge movie guy.
All right, well, what do you think the number one pick was in the sports movie draft?
I mean, I don't know. People are dumb. Could be anything. Air Bud.
It was Rocky. It was Rocky. But number 33 was Jerry Maguire, which was... Not a good.
Jerry Maguire is a good movie. That was the 33rd selection.
Is it a sports movie?
Adam makes the contention that
it's not a sports movie at all. It's absolutely not a sports movie. How many?
You are the same ones that think Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
I don't think that. In fact, it's not. And in fact, that you think Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, but you think
of course it's not a Christmas movie.
Of course
movie.
It's
People
not.
Are murdered in it. It's not a Christmas.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And Jerry Maguire's not a sports movie. Let me ask you this: how many athletes can you name from Jerry Maguire? The names of athletes.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Jerry Maguire?
No, I saw it like a long time ago, though, like only one time.
This is your cue to leave, then.
I think so. Any Given Sunday is the best sports movie ever.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a terrible...
But how can you... Any Given Sunday is awesome.
It is awesome. I just don't know if it's the best sports movie.
No.
It's a great football
movie. It's not even the best football movie.
Rudy's better.
North Dallas 40's better.
What are you, 70?
Rudy is better. 40?
God.
Remember the Titans is better.
Remember the Titans is 100 times better.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Remember the Titans was spoiled for me. The first time I watched it, I'm sitting there with my buddy, and he goes, they had just won the game, and they're eating at the diner, and the guy goes, oh, wait till this kid gets paralyzed. And I'm like, and then he gets into the car accident. I'm like, why'd you ruin the movie for me, buddy?
That's like what you did with Game of Thrones, Nick, when you spoiled the end of season 6 for me.
I did not do that.
You 100% did.
How so?
You told me what was going to happen. You told me the theory.
What was the – oh.
About the tower
scene. Yeah, I kind of did.
You did. It's
really not that big a deal.
It's a pretty big deal. It was a great moment. It was a big deal.
It might have been a bad move by me. Sorry.
Nick, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Always fun to have you on. That's Nick Kostos. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. And let's finish up with some emails. Don't have a name here. Dave, give me a name in a city.
Francis from Oak Park, Illinois.
You can call him Psycho. Dear the Peeper, the Peeped, Seal, and Heath Bar. I do like that I'm being called the Peeper now. It is quite funny.
I don't like being called Seal. Stop it.
Starting a new Dynasty League.
We have a new nickname. Yay!
Which would be my first time playing in this type of league. What are some Dynasty musts or good options to have? Numbers of keepers, bench space, etc. It will be PPR. P.S. Dave needs to tell his Kiss from a Rose story.
That's the wrong Seal.
I know.
Anyway, Dave, Jamie,
no.
Dynasty musts?
I didn't hear the question. I was waiting for my Seal sound.
I mean, I don't really love my Dynasty League because I think there are too many players rostered. So if you want to have a league with a lot of players rostered, I think you should start a lot of players. We start basically a normal lineup, and we have massive benches, and it makes no sense to me, and there's very little... waiver wiring and free agency during the season. And I personally hate the non-snake draft in the rookie draft, but I know a lot of leagues do that. Like the guy who was the first pick in the first round or the girl has the first pick in the second round or the third round. I hate that, but it's up to you. And yeah, dynasty leagues are usually pretty big roster sizes. So go from there. You guys have anything to add?
You don't have to have huge roster sizes. Our dynasty league has huge roster sizes because it's an IDP league.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're starting two defensive linemen, two linebackers, two defensive backs, and a defensive flex. You need backups for those guys. So that's why ours is so long.
But we also have taxi
squads
and IR spots and, you know, those things, I think.
But I think that's fun stuff that you can have. Like, we've got two spots on our rosters that are for rookies only, and you can keep them there as long as you want. But if you use them, you can't put them back, and you can't replace them.
Okay.
Two pieces of news, Adam. We had a trade. The Lions traded Akeem Spence to the Dolphins, defensive tackle.
What'd they get back?
I don't know. And the Falcons have signed Matt Ryan to a $100 million extension, $30 million a year, $100 million guaranteed.
So Aaron Rodgers, get ready to get paid.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they're working on that contract. Andy from the hometown of Craig Dahl. I don't know what that means. Where's Craig Dahl from? He's from, I don't know. I don't, whatever. Anyway, Andy says, Dear Henderson, Greenway, Studwell, and Del Rio.
Vikings linebackers.
Very nice. I'm in a keeper league. You can keep two players. Due to going for it last year via trades, Chris Carson will have to be one of my keepers. I want Rashad Penny, and the league will know this. Should I throw him out? They're doing an auction, by the way. Should I throw him out with my first pick and have a solid dollar amount set that I won't exceed? So if Rashad Penny gets too high, I won't overspend and can deploy a backup plan right away. Do you like that strategy? So he's got Chris Carson. He is determined to get Rashad Penny.
Perfect.
Yeah, first pick.
Andy has nailed it. So the very first guy he throws out is Rashad Penny. There will probably be some doofus in the league that will try to bid him up. If it gets to be too expensive, no big deal. You let him get Penny. Maybe you trade him Carson along the way. And then you go after a different running back.
All righty. From Joe, how does Calvin Ridley impact Julio Jones? Enough for me to consider keeping Deshaun Watson or Mike Evans over Julio?
No.
No.
Julio is still Julio. He's going to be the number one guy.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a better year than what he had last year. Typically, he has very good years when he plays, and he's healthy this year. Something he wasn't last year. Remember, he didn't take part in training camp. He's going to be ready to go, hopefully. And I think it'll make a difference for everything in Atlanta.
All right, Jake from Queens. Keeper league, you lose two spots from where you drafted a player and a spot if you keep a free agent. And you can keep two players if one was a rookie. All right, a lot of stipulations. I picked up Kamara in free agency, so I am giving up an 11th round pick for Alvin Kamara. And I drafted Kareem Hunt in the third round. If I keep Hunt, I lose a first round pick. So from that perspective alone, do I keep Hunt or do I let him go and try to get another guy? I feel like I can't lose either way, and I don't know about Kareem Hunt because Reed used him in a weird way last year.
Weird meaning
leading the
plentiful?
NFL in rushing?
How weird!
And no, well,
so he's got to choose between these
that
guys?
Mid-season stretch, maybe. They didn't really give
him
the ball
enough. It was frustrating, but I think he'll be fine. So it's Hunt in the third or Kamara in the 11th?
No. He says you can keep two players if one was a rookie. These guys were both rookies.
No, it's Kamara in the 11th, and is it Hunt in the first or
sounds
not
like Hunt
him?
In the first. Yeah, you're keeping Hunt and Kamara.
Well, what are his other choices?
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he didn't say.
They're probably crappy. It's like Dez Bryant in round two, Jordy Nelson in round three.
I mean, I guess it would depend on when he picks.
Jason Witten in round four.
If you don't have to give up your first round pick, I would like to keep that.
Yeah, right. If you can get Kareem Hunt back with your first round pick and keep someone else. But he's fine as a first-round keeper.
There's no value there.
From Nick.
So the value is you've got the running back. You've got Kareem Hunt on your team.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
If you keep somebody else and get Barkley, would you rather do that?
What do you mean keep somebody else and get Barkley?
If you keep somebody else in the fifth round and get Barkley in the first
instead
round.
Instead of Hunt?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably rather have that.
Okay, so we don't know who else he has. That's why we can't answer the question fully.
We don't know where he picks in round one either.
Well, we just don't know anything. We're going to call you, Jake. And Nick wants to know... expectations for guys coming back from fairly serious injuries, Dalvin Cook, Deshaun Watson, Allen Robinson, Beckham, Andrew Luck. I'll shorten it and just ask, is there any one injured player, or more than one, that you're really wary of?
Injured during the season?
Coming back from injury.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different, because if you're coming back from injury, like Marlon Mack and Alshon Jeffery are coming back from injuries. That they sustain.
Whatever you want to say, I just want to know, are there players coming back from injury that you are, you know, very maybe hesitant to draft?
Wentz, because of his injury and Jeffrey's injury.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a twofer.
Jordan Reed, Tyler Eifert, because they're always hurt. But the difference between those guys last year and this year is that now you can get them so late that doesn't really scare you.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you. Good show. Fun stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yo, I came back to tell you I was undefeated.
Carried off the field like Don Shula. That was Nick Costos. I want to thank him for coming on and all of you for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll come back on Monday or Tuesday and do this fun stuff again. See you later.
Na, 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 na. It's on.